The Senate has confirmed Christopher Hart as chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board. He had been the acting chairman since April when his predecessor Deborah Hersman left. A lawyer and well-known aviation safety expert, Hart held several senior jobs at the FAA. He was also an NTSB board member back in the early 90s. Just before his confirmation, Hart spoke with me about how the board is handling what's turned out to be a busy year.
We've had a lot of activity in every mode of transportation, so we've been very busy, and that's a good thing because that gives us more opportunity to make improvements.
All right. So anything, has this been a busier year than average?
We have our ups and downs. I think, you know, this is, I couldn't really relate it to comparison to the other years. We have our ups and downs, and this has been a pretty heavy one. And what really has occurred is a couple of instances where one mode was hit by a number of accidents, and that really strained that mode. So, for example, in railroad, we had, from one railroad alone, we had five events in less than a year, and that division also does pipeline. So we had some pipeline events in there, too. So that made them some, you know, pretty busy folks.
And so the railroad incidents, they seem to, I guess, happen in clusters as they did this year. What did the railroad people learn? I mean, what are some of these challenges they've had, and is there any new history being broken here in terms of what we know about railroad and railroad accident potentials?
Well, it runs the gamut. I mean, we've seen mass transit accidents, and they have their host of issues. We've seen unit train crude oil accidents, and they have their host of issues. So it really it depends on the nature of the carriage. So the five accidents I was talking about were in a mass transit operator in Metro North, and they had five in a year. So that's a different set of issues than when we see unit trains derail.
And so what happens when you have something like that where one, it's almost as if one airline had five crashes?
Well, we look at it very closely to see if there's an issue in the corporate organization, in their safety management, you know, and how do they handle safety in general in the management of the operation. So it's a much deeper organizational look as opposed to just looking at that one event.
Well, the NTSB is famous for airline investigations, and some of your employees over the years have won awards for, you know, the work they've done in some, you know, difficult crashes, like the TWA 800 was a national award winner. Do you have a similar depth in non-air transport, and do those people get a chance to shine also?
Well, we certainly have a similar quality of experience, but we don't have the number of bodies in other modes as we have in aviation. Aviation is the biggest single mode that we deal with. So we do have each substantive area well covered, but we don't have as much depth in those areas just because we have fewer people in the other modes.
Now, operating this year has been the year since sequestration, and so everybody's budgets have not recovered yet. How has that affected your operations?
We've been doing pretty well. Congress is generally pretty good to us. We have our ups and downs, but on the whole, we're in pretty good shape in terms of our overall resources.
And what about the effect of the people, say, in that, you know, continuing with the train idea, that have, you know, had five accidents by one carrier, and you've got to go to each one and spend some time there and reconstruct it and so forth? What's the effect been on people?
Well, that just means they're pretty stretched, but they're committed to what they do, and that just means that, you know, may stretch out the time frame for some of the activities, but we do take all of them through an exhaustive examination to find out what happened so we can make recommendations to prevent it from happening again.
All right, so there were some overseas airline crashes and airline disappearances, which are not your purview, but does the NTSB get called on to help with some of the agencies around the world just because of the depth of the U.S. experience?
Yes, actually, there are two ways that we get called on. One is if it's an accident that has American involvement of significance, for example, if it's an American-built airplane or American engines or lot of American passengers, then by international treaty, we have a right to be there. But to your point about the world-class investigators we have, a lot of times, even when we don't have a treaty right to be there, we're invited to come because people appreciate the quality of our expertise.
I mean, basically, the NTSB is almost an international resource because of the depth of expertise you do have.
Most definitely. And we work actively with other investigation agencies that are also international resources. So we have quite a good international talent pool to choose from.
We're speaking with Chris Hart, the acting chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board. And how did your experience at the FAA help in being the acting director right now of NTSB?
Well, it helped me understand the regulator's viewpoint, because what we're seeing, the bottom line of what we're seeing is that everybody has their eyes on the same prize, and that's improving safety. So people will come at that from different directions. So the manufacturer would have a perspective, the airline would have a perspective, the pilots union would have a perspective. Everybody would have their own perspective, and this helped me get a better understanding of other perspectives in this endeavor so that we can work better collaboratively, because ultimately the way we get to where we're going is collaborative, working all together.
Now, in the issue of the Malaysian Airline 370, that to this date, it's a year now, has not been found. But I guess there's something that aviation administrations around the world probably learned from all of this. What do you think are the big takeaways from that particular incident, which is probably the strangest thing since Amelia Earhart?
Well, the International Civil Aviation Organization recently hosted a conference on, and that was one of the big issues, is how to make sure that we don't lose airplanes again. And just before that conference, we made some recommendations on how to help make sure we don't lose airplanes, in terms of airplanes notifying us periodically where they are, and that notification frequency would increase if something goes wrong. So it would be an ordinary normal operations notification frequency, but then that would increase dramatically if something went wrong. Our recommendation is to develop a system which will allow us to know within 6 miles where an airplane has crashed.
And regarding recommendations, the NTSB doesn't make policy or directives, but they can recommend that the FAA do so. Is that how it works?
Yes, we're not a regulator, so we can't require anything, but we recommend that either the FAA as a regulator or whoever it is that has the authority to do what needs to be done, we would make recommendations to, you know, whoever that might be.
Now, the FAA, it's on the FAA side of things, they are dealing, I think, their next kind of round of safety improvements, they suspect, is in the area of ground incursions on runways and tarmacs and so forth, since that's, you know, seems to be an area of near misses and so on, more so than in the air, since they've been working on that since the 1940s. And is that something the NTSB has expertise on, too, or you pretty much once something's happened?
No, we go into anything that causes an accident or an incident. We want to know about it because we want to do what we can to prevent that from happening again. So that would be the case, whether it's in the air or on the ground or wherever that might be.
We're speaking with Chris Hart, the acting chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board. And I wanted to ask you, I've seen a couple of calls from different quarters for reopening some very old cases. How often does that come up, and how do you deal with those?
We never close a case because you never know when there's some evidence that you didn't find that it could be relevant to your finding. So we've had several instances where we found new evidence and then reopened an investigation that was already closed because the new evidence shed new light on it. So we're very open to revisiting investigations if we get new evidence. And that's why we never close our dockets on those and make them, you know, open forever. We just recently looked at one on TWA 800, if you remember that one. That was
I do.
Kennedy Airport to Paris. And there was recently a petition for reconsideration on that. That occurred in 1996. So that's a testament to the point that we never close, because if we get new evidence, we want to know that, because if we haven't got the right answer, then we haven't done anybody any favors. So we want to make sure we have all the evidence we need to get the correct answer.
And what was the ruling on that? Because, you know, most of the calls for reopening that one center on theories that there was really a missile fired, possibly from the United States. But I don't think there's anything new
right.
in terms
okay.
of what happened in the air itself. So what do you do with a case like that?
We consider the petition for two things. One is, does it present new evidence that we didn't have at the time? And two is, does it show us that our analysis of the evidence that we did have was in some way flawed? So we looked at that petition with both of those and found, no, it was not new evidence, and no, it did not show a flaw in our analysis. And in order to reach that conclusion with credibility, we had different people look at the petition for reconsideration than the ones who actually did the accident investigation. In other words, we didn't have any overlap of the accident investigators involved in responding to the petition.
And at that time, I think that took about 5 years to reconstruct the plane. You built a hangar. I think it's still on display somewhere to do that. So
it is still on display.
Pretty exhaustive. And
I think that accident took about 4 years from accident to completion of the report. I think it was around 4 year time frame. That's correct. It was a very exhaustive accident investigation, and part of the reason it took so long is because we had to bring quite a few pieces off the bottom of the ocean in order to really reach a conclusion of, you know, just what happened.
And I remember the quarter-second tape, you know, that was done by an investigator led to that wire in the gas tank. I think that gentleman's retired now, anyhow.
Yes, he's retired, but we never did determine. We knew that in order for the explosion to occur, it had to have three things. It had to have fuel, and that was the fuel in the tank. It had to have oxygen, and that was the atmosphere in the tank. And it had to have an ignition source. We couldn't determine with certainty what the ignition source was, so that's the uncertainty that remains, is what was it? There were three or four possible sources of ignition, but we weren't able to narrow that down to exactly which ignition source caused that.
And the other call lately has been for the 1959 crash of Buddy Holly's small plane during a snowstorm in the Midwest. And it's probably,
correct.
It's hard to imagine what possible forensics could still exist that would add to what's known already about that one, since it goes back almost 60 years.
Well, we'll certainly be looking into it, but you're right. We have to go into some archival information in order to dig up things about that. But where that is now is we received a letter from a person who wanted us to look into it. We responded by saying, you need a petition for reconsideration, and here's what the petition needs to show. And it needs to show, as I mentioned, new evidence or inappropriate analysis on the existing evidence. And by the way, you need to have standing to bring this petition. It can't just be Joe Public. It has to be someone with standing. So then a petition was submitted, and now we're revisiting and to see whether those criteria have been met. As you know, since we can't require anything, we rely heavily on the bully pulpit. So that means the media is very helpful to us in getting our word out on how to improve safety to make it ever safer, how to improve aviation and other transportation mode safety to make it ever safer.